All right. Well, let's get on in and dig in this Word of God here for a moment before we go celebrate with the rest of the brethren. Psalms.
Good stuff.
Ooh, man. Ain't it good?
Yeah. Where do you want to go to the Psalms?
Man, look. It's loaded, brother. We are loaded to the gills with it. Thinking about that, where do we not go?
Yeah.
We shortchanging it if we not go anywhere, huh?
That's right.
If we stop somewhere.
I do have one just little thing that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah.
People that want to stay just in the New Testament say, well, that's where Jesus is. Can't read Psalms. If you can't read Psalms and find Jesus, then you're just not reading good.
Well, you know, isn't it amazing how the Jews that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, who had this record all throughout the Psalms, all throughout Isaiah, everywhere we turn, it was in reference to him, but they didn't see him as being the fulfillment of that.
But like in 22,
yeah,
it speaks
in detail.
In detail of not just about Jesus, but some of the things that he quoted and said.
Yeah, that he personalized.
Yeah.
That we know it was him.
So he was given this, it was the pre-incarnate Jesus that was given this to David to write down.
Right. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? That was personalized to Jesus upon the cross.
Yeah.
A question. Two questions.
Right.
Two questions that are not answered. And I'm gonna talk about questions this morning and based on some of these questions. There's other questions that we've been finding in Psalms.
Right.
And the questions, you know, the Bible gives us on numerous occasions some distinct questions that are asked. Most of the time, the questions are answered. Sometimes they're questions from men to God. Sometimes it's God asking the question, but it's we see answers. And I'm gonna really focus in on one particular question that these things have led me to that he doesn't give an answer to, but he puts it in our lap to answer the question. And so we'll look at that. But yes, I totally agree.
Like in 16, mm-hmm. of the same chapter, pierced my hands and my feet.
Yeah. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. The hounds of hell.
You know, they part my garments and cast lots.
Yeah. They did all that.
I mean, How can somebody say, well, the New Testament's a good thing and the Old Testament's just not really Jesus?
Yeah.
I just don't
understand
that.
Yeah, Scripture says everything Moses wrote, he wrote about me.
Come on.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Abraham told a man in hell, hey, they got Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to them, they'll never believe somebody came back from the dead.
That's it.
You know, so, yes, matter of fact, I was telling a story to that very same pastor. We were talking, and several of them during the week just continued to reiterate to me how I wove the Older Testament and the New Testament together that was so clear and so beneficial and so helpful for them. People were coming like, man, how the Old Testament made so much sense and the New Testament had so much clarity, how it just all wove so well together. And we were talking about one of the church members come up, pastor was standing there, and he brought that out. And I said, yeah, I know I can't fathom why people don't dig in the Older Testament and read through. I said, that's one thing that I've always enjoyed so much. And even in our nesting with Jesus, we rotate back and forth, and we're always looking for Christ through it all. And I said, yeah, there was a pastor friend of mine preaching, and he was with a pastor who had been out of school, seminary, for nearly 30 years. And the pastor preached out of Deuteronomy. in which Deuteronomy is a preacher's book. I mean, that's just what it is. It's just three sermons delivered to the people just prior to them going into the promised land. And he preached out of it, and the pastor came to him and just was blown away by the word and how he took the Old Testament and brought so much life to it. And he said, man, I hadn't even opened the Old Testament, specifically the book of Deuteronomy, since my seminary days, 30 years ago. Wow. Thinking, how in the world? I mean, you know how many times Deuteronomy is quoted in the New Testament? The temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. It was all brought out of Deuteronomy. How can you not go back and take a peek at it and take a look at it? And you know, that brother said, I hadn't been in it much either since I got out of seminary. And he's been there for 20 years, 19 years. So I think that this past week when we were with them, and that's what I shared with them, I said, look, some of these things I'm sharing is going to take a little bit for them to sink in and for you to process it. It's going to be up to you how you continue to dig and keep looking. And I said, I'm going to put them up online so you can go back and listen to them again and go over it again. I said, this repetition is not a tedious thing. It's for your benefit. And a lot of them have been going and listening again and again. Just the fact that taking that which they're so unfamiliar with, it was like a foreign world to them. Yes. That we were examining and looking at and bringing the light. And but I would have never suspected him to say, man, I haven't been in Deuteronomy much either since I got out of school. And he'd been preaching at that particular church for 19 years, and I know he was in ministry prior to that. So who knows?
Yes.
Everywhere we go.
It's amazing.
I mean, they're solid guys and solid teachers, you know.
The same way here.
Yeah, you're right.
I've never heard that in my life until you came here and started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's into that, and I was like, wow. You know, never seen that before. You know, never.
Right.
You know, to me, and, you know, my earlier years, the Old Testament was just like, you know, especially in the first
books, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like all those. Begotten.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if I think about it.
Right.
All
yeah.
But you shared it in a different light, and where that does matter. I mean, it's part of the book. Mm-hmm. It all goes together. You know, if it didn't, it wouldn't have.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be God's word.
Right.
But I know where they're coming from.
Yeah.
We were in the same place.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
I was anyway.
Right. But I tell you, it gives so much clarity on God, on life, on why Christ did what he did, and the beautiful consequences of that. So I thoroughly enjoy it. Like Brother Shannon's saying, you get it in the Psalms. How can you not? For the believer, we look back at it and say, man, the Psalms are just filled with prophetic references of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know.
And then on top of that is like in chapter 26.
Yeah.
Is judgment. You know, and when we read this, it can't be about David, and it can't be about Israel. It has to be about us. When you read, judge me.
Yeah, verse.
You put that thing.
Yeah.
You put that on you.
Yeah.
God, if you wrote me, you want me to read this, then judge me.
Mm-hmm.
Examine me.
Yeah. I was going to bring some of those things out. The New King James translates the word judge me from the idea of vindicate me. Right. Examine.
Yeah.
And when you judge me, you're going to find me innocent on this thing. I did not do what I'm being accused of doing, but I'm going to stand before you, the great judge who sees and knows everything. It's one thing for a man to judge me on the information he's been given. But there's nobody needs to bring any information before you. You've seen it all. You know not only what people have done, you know what my heart is on this issue.
Right, right.
And so he's asking God to judge him with the purpose of vindicating him, because David was falsely accused of something.
Right.
I mean, we've all been falsely accused of this or that before. Some things we've done. And I read a quote the other day by Charles Spurgeon. That dude was something. Now he was something in the way he thought and just what he had in his heart and his mind. He said, "Brother, don't get mad when people talk bad about you. because you're a whole lot worse than what they're saying about you. Don't get mad at them. You're a whole lot worse than what they're saying about you. Yeah. So don't get mad at them. It's all right. Yeah. And that'll speak to you, you know. That, I mean, yes, they may be saying things that you did you may have not have done, but that you got enough that you have done that if they knew you'd done, you'd be, yeah, that's right. So the whole point is that, hey, don't get upset with them. You're a lot worse than they think you are. You know, in reality, we are.
And,
you know.
And if we can't look it back at our life and see two different people, the old man.
Yeah, yeah.
And the new man.
What he's done.
And
yeah.
What he's done.
Right.
If you're not two separate people, two separate personalities, everything, mm-hmm. Then you need to
examine, you know, what has he done in me? And I mentioned this the other night, and I'm going to probably be bringing it up a little bit more. We've talked about it. You hear me say all the time about, you know, there's things that God's done for us. There's things that God desires to do with us.
Yeah.
There's things that God is going to do in us and things that are to be done through us. And it's when he does things through us is how he reveals his glory through our life. It's not what he's done for us that reveals his glory through our life. It's what when we put faith in what he's done for us, now he's done that with us. And now he's going to do something in us so that he can do something through us. And you see that throughout the history of God working with his people. Illustrated it through Egypt, for an example. When God delivered Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh, all the things that he did for them. Matter of fact, turn to Deuteronomy. Speaking of Deuteronomy, look in Deuteronomy 29. Let me show you how this fits. This is where some of these things come to mind. You know, when we read this, in the first few verses of Deuteronomy 29, you're going to see that God done things for them, but it wasn't done with them. It was done with somebody, like Moses, for an example. Moses was shepherding, leading them out. Moses, the one who was operating in faith with God, and God was doing something in him. God was going to do something through him. But as the most part, the people just followed Moses out. And notice how he describes this in verse number 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made at Horeb, the law that he gave. Now Moses called all Israel, and he said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before you, what he did for you, your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and his servants and all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders." Notice what verse 4 says. "Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day." There's a difference in what he does for us and what he does with us. He hadn't done this with them. Their faith wasn't connected with him. You take, for an example, when they went to that place, Kadesh Barnea, and they sent the 12 spies in. And the 12 came back, and the men, 10 of them said, "We can't do this." But 2 of them said, "We can do it because God's with us." See, they trusted him. These 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, was working with God. The rest of the people wasn't working with him. They didn't see it. So for the next 40 years, they got to wonder, because everything that God did was simply for them, but not with them. It was only when he did it with them that he done something in them, and it changed how they saw life. It changed how they saw him. It changed everything. And it was then what he would do through them that they then begin to glorify him. Moses was glorifying him. Joshua and Caleb was glorifying him. But the rest of Israel wasn't. They were just tagging along because of what he did for them, but they wasn't participating in faith with him. And because they couldn't see what he saw, they couldn't agree with it, there was no work done in them, and therefore there would be no work done through them. So we see them wandering through the wilderness 40 years because they wouldn't work with him. Once they get in the promised land, though, God is using Joshua and he's using the people to work with them to throw down the walls of Jericho. They're working with him now. They trust in him in faith. They're working with him. God's doing something in him.
This was supernatural.
Yes.
Because of those that were, what, 25 and up perished.
Yes, that's right. Those that wasn't working with him all died off. Now another generation, minus Joshua and Caleb, the only two that worked with him, are now going in the promised land. And what we see, the promised land is a picture of the abundant life in Christ. Not heaven, but that life of trusting and walking with God. And see, God's working with us. And as he works with us, what does he do? He's working in us. He's changing who we are, how we see things. And as a result of that, God works through us. And that's just the process that God, we see that he's done it with us. We heard things, seen things that he's done for us. But it's when we put faith in what he's done that he begins the work inside of us. And then he works through us. And people see Jesus in us because he's working through us. But faith is the connector that makes that all come to place. These people, he's telling them here, God done great things for you, but you didn't see it because you wasn't working with him. What he did was not connected to faith in your life. And therefore, it didn't transform you as a person. And if you're not being transformed, there's no way God's going to glorify himself through your life. And that's the ultimate. Whatever God does for us, the end is so that he'll do it through us, so that people will see him and his glory in and through our lives. So that's where we have to then evaluate and look. Well, God's done a lot for us, and he's done more for us than we even know he's done. But am I working with him? Am I trusting him? And is he changing me and using me to prevent? I see y'all.
That's one of the things, like in Psalms, where David repetitively says, God, I thank you for all that you, I give praise to you for all that you've done for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank you as much for things you didn't allow me to do.
Yes.
That you didn't, that you, that I could have done, I didn't do. That's as much God at work.
Oh, yeah. What he kept.
To keep me from doing things.
Yes.
That, and as the things that he lets, allows me to do.
Even being taken by fear by the enemy. That was something that God preserved him. You kept my feet from stumbling. You know, you held me from being shaken by them. And that's that idea. David, here's a man after God's own heart. A man that not only what God did for him, but what God did with him, in him, and through him. And that we want to see that continual work with us.
Right.
It goes along with John 15 about abiding in the vine. You got to stay connected to him. How do you stay connected? By faith. We work with him. He works in us. The vine produces fruit out of us or through us. And people see Jesus in our life. They smell Jesus in our life. But it's only what he does through us that we then participate in bringing him glory. That people see his glory through our life, which we see in John 17:22. He says, the glory you gave me before time began, I've given it unto my disciples. What was it? To manifest the glory of the Father. That's our assignment, is to manifest his glory. That only happens when our faith is connected with him and he's working in us and through us. So when we see and we question, well, why in the world he did all these things, but God had not given them a heart to perceive it because they wasn't working with him with faith. And when we trust him, God works in us and through us for his good pleasure. Just something that we always have to look at, because there's times we can get disconnected and we see what God's doing for people, but we're not connecting that with faith of what he's wanting to do in us and how he's wanting to work those things out through our lives. And that's what we need. We want him working through us, using us to bring himself glory. Amen.